We are quickly approaching the end of 2024. And if you have not purchased an investment property yet this year, and it's been one of your goals, I need you to listen very closely. I know many of you live in areas where it's so expensive and investment properties seem impossible. I'm talking about some of the big cities. So LA, New York City, maybe even Seattle, Atlanta, places in Florida, and the list goes on. If you know that where you live is too expensive, I need you to lock in right now. Investing out of state changed my life as somebody living in California. I now invest in Ohio and I'm growing my portfolio. It's something that's possible. You just need the right information and execution. So if that's you, if you want to learn how to invest out of state, go to outofstatemoney.com and there is a free training that'll outline the steps for you and help you understand exactly what it takes. So go to outofstatemoney.com or simply go to the link in the description of this episode.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 21. The purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming Black real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors. Shout out to our sponsors, Mint Inc. Mint stands for the Minority Interdisciplinary Networking Team. Mint empowers young minority professionals with an interdisciplinary network for learning, collaboration, and the development of entrepreneurial ventures. You can become a member of their network for free at mintinc-usa.com. You can also follow them on IG at mintinc_USA. A few announcements before we get into our episode today. Don't forget to leave us a rating and a comment. It'll help us move up in the rankings and to reach and impact more people. Thank you all so much for those who have left comments, left ratings. It helps a whole lot. We're also on Twitter at Bred Podcast. Take a moment, follow us there. At BRED Podcasts. We're also accepting show sponsors. So if you're interested in sponsoring a show, if you have a product, a service, a course that you think our audience would benefit from, send us a DM or an email. We're also offering paid Instagram posts. So if you have a course, product, et cetera, again, that can be valuable to our audience. Send us a DM and we'll talk more about what that would look like. We also have a lot of resources from our trusted partners in the show notes that will help you on your journey to real estate investment, everything from credit to fundamentals of looking for properties and various courses and resources. So check them out. The best investment you can make is in yourself. And also stay safe with all this coronavirus stuff going on. For those who your job is impacted or you're working from home or perhaps you're not working at all, this is a great opportunity to build up a side hustle and to increase your knowledge and learn something. And lastly, sign up for our email list. By signing up for our email list, you'll receive discounts, additional content, resources in our newsletter. Also, when some of our partners have discounts, I send it to the email list first before posting on Instagram or Twitter or anything. So you definitely want to stay tuned for that. And then lastly, one update on my property in Dayton. So the property manager made an accounting error in this last draw. And basically sent me $19 more than they were supposed to. So they took only an 8% fee instead of a 10% fee, which is kind of annoying, but I followed up with them. They apologized for it and they said they'd make the adjustment in next month's deposit. And so, you know, it's just part of managing the manager, making sure they're doing their job. Things happen. For me, it's not enough to get rid of them. I mean, they had one accounting error maybe a few months ago, but mistakes happen. The biggest thing for me is as long as it's fixed, then we're good. So that's a quick update there. Looking forward to this episode. I definitely think you all will get a lot out of it. Let's get into it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Very excited for this episode today. Today with me, I have George Gibson from Vero Beach, Florida. George, thank you so much for hopping on the show. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. No problem, man.
For sure. And so first, start off with telling us about what your childhood was like and what you saw or what you didn't see that shaped your view of building wealth.
All right. To start out, I was raised up in North Carolina, small town. You know, we had one Walmart, one gas station, basically. And that's where I was raised at from until I turned about in fifth grade. That's in the fifth grade. That's when I kind of transcended to Florida with my dad's side of the family. And it was totally opposite, you know, because being raised up in North Carolina, everybody got off at 5 o'clock, watched the Young and the Restless 5 to 6, and then, you know, ate dinner, let's do it again tomorrow. So I come to Florida, it was totally different. My family, it was more business people. So when I first get here, my dad, he had a bar. So he running the bar. My grandparents, they had rental properties. Grows in Florida, grows a big thing. So I come from, you know, at 4 or 5 o'clock, everybody get out, get off work and be in the yard till my dad, he at home all day or in and out all day, you know? So just think about high school. It's hard to bring a girl out because you don't know when your parents come back. You don't have no set schedule, you know? So it was like, man, my dad lived a weird life, you know? You know, he showed up to every basketball game. So that was like the beginning of, I didn't realize it, but that was like how I view life now, like working and like business, making your money work for you.
For sure, for sure. Must have been really cool as a kid. Just seeing, you know, you probably see your friends around, their parents go to work and they not, you know, they can't come to stuff. But it must have been very interesting for you as a kid. Everyone was always around, you know, they had their businesses and they're working on things, they're here, they're there. But for the important moments, they were around. And you know, having those businesses, having those rental properties gave them the opportunity to control their time, it seems.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot, everybody, when they raised up a certain way, you think everybody raised up like that. So, I mean, I didn't really look at it how I look at it now, but back then I thought that was normal. Like, you got a basketball game, your parents come, you know, or you got an event at school. Like, I remember they used to come to events during the middle of the day at school, you know, like with football and stuff. But I thought that was kind of normal, maybe almost, because it was just how we was raised.
Definitely, for sure, for sure. So why did you decide to pursue real estate as a path to building wealth?
All right. That's a deep question. Why did I choose real estate? All right, let's think. All right, first of all, I didn't really choose real estate. I was working at the post office, which was like, you know, everybody, I went to college, graduated, worked little jobs, ended up at the post office being a mail carrier. So while I was doing the mail thing, the first year I worked there, you know, it's my first time, anybody first time making, let's say maybe 40, 50 grand a year, it's an exciting time. So that first year I worked there, you know, we bought the cars, we bought a house, bought a dog. No, we already had a dog, but bought the house with the picket fence. We bought it, right? We was living that. And after that first year, I realized I got 29 more years to do this, you know? And everybody laughing like, oh, you know, we'll see it. We'll be out of here in like 5-4 years. And I'm like, man, I can't do this for 29 years. So that's when like the wheels started turning, like it gotta be a better way. It gotta be a better way. So I start, I actually discovered the podcast while delivering mail. And I discovered the Bigger Pockets podcast, which I know everybody should know about that by now. Bigger Pockets podcast is like number one real estate. If you listen to every episode, I'm pretty sure you're going to buy a rental property. It's probably like a high, high rate. And that's what I did. I discovered the podcast. And for 4 years, I listened to the podcast and while I'm delivering mail. Next thing you know, I built up the courage and saved up the money to do my first investment.
For sure, for sure. And what was that first investment like? Can you walk us through that process?
All right. This is the part where everybody got their own advantages in life, right? So when people, you listen to this, think about your unique situation. All right, I listen to all the podcasts. And basically when you listen to all these different people come on and tell their story, you basically imagine yourself having a tool belt. And each person is a tool. So I got a hammer, I got a screwdriver, I got whatever, another tool, right? So I got all these tools. So what I pictured was I already had a house, and guess what happened? The house appreciated. So I'm like, what can I do? It don't cost you. I talked to the realtor. She said, oh, it's free to sell your house. I mean, it don't cost you anything, you know? You just list it. If it don't sell, it don't sell. You should have told me that. I can just list it at whatever price I want. So she said, yeah. So we came up on a number where I make this set amount of money. I started out right there. That's like most people. They don't care what they sell it for. They want to know how much I'm making. So I'm like, if I can make this much money, this much money, I'll sell it. So I put it on the market. I was, like most people, at a high price, right? So it probably took, it was on the market. We had for our first property, we had 25 showings. And it laid it, and that's over like wow. a four month period. So my wife, she had gave up. She was like, let's just take it off the market. But at this point, I'm like all the way in. I'm like, man, we got to sell. I ain't got the motive. Like, we got a new house. So we had 25 showings, but we ended up selling it, and we made a pretty decent profit, you know? So I was like, dang, it'll take me like a half a year at the post office just to make this much money, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's like the first initial purchase. I mean, that's the first time I thought like an investor and acted on it. So I basically lived in my house for a year and a half, and we ended up selling it, making like 20, 30 grand, you know?
Wow.
So I was like, I'm addicted.
for sure. And did those funds help with like your purchase of an investment property?
Yeah. So, all right. And that's the thing, when you listen to everything that people are saying has already done it, it worked. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. So basically, by me listening to the podcast, I knew I should have purchased a multifamily first. So I'm like, all right, we're gonna get out this house. We're going to buy a multifamily. Because at that point, I had car payments. I had a house payment. And we were just saving, you know, like a little bit of money. So I'm like, we can live for free. We buy a duplex. So immediately, we move out. I start looking for duplexes, anything 2 units to 4 units. Because with that, a 4 unit or less, you can get an FHA loan and put 3% down. So we're looking for duplexes, triplexes, whatever, for like January to probably like May, man. And none of the numbers made sense. Like, I had been analyzing deals so I could run the numbers, and none of the deals, like, they weren't coming out where it was a good deal. So I came across a house with we went to look at it. It said mother-in-law suite attached. So I was like, let's go check this one out. We walk in throughout the whole house, right? Look at the whole house. I'm already sold, right? I'm like, this is the house, right? You know, when you see a house, you can feel it in your gut. Like, I picture myself living here. So I do the whole house, and then the lady was like, oh, you can go to the other part. I walk down. It's like, it's a converted garage. So they converted the garage into a mother-in-law suite. I walked in, and it's a brand new, like, mini studio. Kitchen, bathroom, brand new, living room, you know, living room and bedroom together. But I'm like, asking price, let's go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I seen it. The lady wasn't the previous person. She was just using the whole house. Me, I knew immediately I was going to rent that part out. So what was the question? I forgot.
Oh, no. I was asking if part of those funds from the sale helped with
the Yeah, so that's what it was. I took those funds that I made from the house and purchased. Basically, I turned a single-family house into a duplex. So I purchased the house. I live in one side, and I would rent the other side out. And that was what I did. I mean, and that's only 3%. So even if you make 30 grand, 3% of 200 grand, that's like $7,000, I believe, you know? So just imagine how far you can go, how big you can go with just 3% down.
Wow. There's a couple things I want to pull out of there. So the first is you bought something initially. You had a single family home. You purchased it, but you were still learning. You were still listening to podcasts, investing in yourself, investing in your education. And then you realize, hey, you know, this house has appreciated. This could be an opportunity for us to, you know, to sell it and do what I thought we should have done in the first place, now that I know. And then you took money and you saw an opportunity. You saw a house and you saw the suite on the land as well. Not everybody would see it as, wow, I can make money off of the mother-in-law suite. So I think it points to a lot of things. It points to, you know, you took a lot of time to listen to podcasts, to learn information, and then you applied the information. You know what I mean?
Correct.
You know, there's also no wasted experience. You could have said, oh my goodness, you know, I should have bought a duplex. What was me? But you said, you know what, let's see what I can do with what I have. And that got you to the point to be able to get the next property. So I think that's very cool.
Yeah, and that's why you can't really, when people be like, how'd you do it? It's not really no direct answer. I don't care if it's a billion people in the world. There's no direct answer to a way to success, you know, because a lot of things I see like that, the lady who lived here before, she didn't do that. She didn't rent it out, you know, and then I came and seen that because, like you said, I've been learning. So I created something out of nothing, basically.
For sure, for sure. And what was it like being a landlord for the first time?
I made a lot of mistakes. Even though my dad was a landlord, I still made mistakes. Let's see. Some of the main mistakes I did was basically, like, people hand me cash, and I'm like, oh, go move in, you know? Like, okay. Like, next thing you know, they calling, oh, this broke. I'm like, and then I ain't have no paper. I ain't signed no lease. Like, you know, I'm like, oh, I just need to stay here for a month. I'll give you $1,000. Next thing you know, they give me half, $450. Now they got the brother or somebody in emergency, and now they late. I'm like, I made mistakes, you know, and that's the thing about when you become a landlord, I'm realizing now you want to overdo it, basically. So overdo your rules, because if you don't, if there's any lack in the lease, the tenant can take advantage of it, you know.
For sure. And when, how many years ago was that purchase?
That purchase was 2 years ago.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And how have you changed as a landlord since those first couple of experiences?
Well, now this is for me. I can't say it for everybody, but try not to communicate too much in text messages, because it create a lot of time when you could have just picked up the phone, and it create more of a friend, you know, instead of business. Because then once people become your friend, they can tell you the sob story, and then you feel bad for them. And now, you know, it's just different. So I would say put everything on paper, signature, exactly what you want. You know, take pictures. If you just, like, fixed up a place, take pictures of it. You know, so you have pictures. So when they get ready to move out and they say, oh, this was already like that, you know, I got pictures. Like, being more organized. That was me. I'm like, I'm young. I'm like, all right, they're going to pay me $500 a day for a week. Give me the money. Not thinking, oh, they might break this, or, you know what I mean, this and that, or they might treat it way different than I would. So that's one of the things. Have a lease, a full lease, and application fee, do background credit check, mandatory.
For sure, for sure. Do you use any type of software? Like, what is your process typically like? Like when screening candidates, you know, doing background checks and collecting rent and stuff.
For the mother-in-law, that was Airbnb. So that's a little bit different.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Airbnb. And, you know, even with Airbnb, people be like, oh, would you rent it out? Stuff like that. That's how that ended up happening. But far as background and credit check, you don't do that on Airbnb. But for my other rental properties, I got a duplex. I inherited one tenant, and the other tenant, I didn't run any background credit check. I'm kind of like old school, and that's kind of messed me up too, because my dad, you know, he have a piece of paper, you know, cross out stuff, fill in this, change the date. Hey, this is your lease. Sign it. Boom. And that's kind of what I did. And, I mean, I ain't going to say judge a person, but trust your intuition. So just the other day, I'm working on a house, right? And a lady came up, and she was like, I got my Section 8 voucher. This is house to rent. I'm like, oh, yeah, because I was finna go down to the Section 8 Housing Authority today to look for to put it on the list. So, you know, I kind of take, like, the universe and God working in my favor. Like, this lady got her voucher. I see her car neat. It ain't junky. She got kids. It seemed like an honest person. Even though I'm still going to do the background credit check, I try to use my intuition. Not to judge them, but just going off my first instinct. You know, and then I'm thinking the universe, oh, God sent me this person. Mm-hmm. She really need a place. I'm finna rent it out, and her voucher with the exact rent I was going to put it. So I kind of like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense. Talk to us more about the Airbnb. I know it's something that's very popular now, and it's giving people an opportunity to house hack in a different way. So we'd just love to hear from you what your experience has been like on Airbnb and why you decided to use that strategy.
All right. The reason I chose that strategy is because Airbnb make almost double the amount of rent. So if you live in, like, the city, or you didn't think that, if you live in the city or, like, in a downtown area, Airbnb, you know, it's by the night. So in my case, this house is the mother-in-law is right next door. So there's nothing for us to go over there and wife to clean it, you know, and come back. That's like, and then we're getting paid by the night. So you could be charging, say, $70 a night, and you probably on average doing 25 nights out of the month, you know, on average probably. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot more than rent. But the main thing about Airbnb is the location. Location, location. If you're in the right location, Airbnb is like a gold mine right now because it's cheaper than a hotel for the most part. And it's booming right now. It's kind of like, what was that stuff everybody started buying at one time? It was like fake. You know what I mean? Some of the stock market.
Was it recently?
Yeah, you know, Bitcoin.
Oh, God, like the crypto and all that stuff.
Yeah, I say Airbnb, like the Bitcoin of real estate. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the highest degree of income for the most part.
For sure. Have there been any downsides to Airbnb?
Yes. The downside to Airbnb, you do have to, it's more on a daily, it's like a hotel, it's daily. So, you got to check people in. Well, you don't have to check them in. You put a lockbox on the door or whatever. But you got to clean it. That's the worst part about Airbnb. You have to clean it or you have to hire out somebody to clean it. So what I do is to prevent a lot of like one-night stands, I do three-night minimum. So when you do a three-night minimum, you get more of a working person or a family that's coming on vacation. So I do like a three-night minimum and – you do sometimes, they have people, they book, they might say, oh, I got two guests. Okay, you got two guests, you got three beds, four beds. Why are the beds messed up? You know? Yeah. So they'll take two guests and they'll have more people there and then make more of a mess, you know? We just had a house with Airbnb and it's the first guest, I don't know what happened. I don't know if they played beer park or what, but we got there and like, we had all brand new sheets. And, you know, for every bee, you put white sheets so people can know it's clean. I mean, it was throw up, blood. It was crazy. And then we had 20 washcloths. They text us and said, any more washcloths? We were like, you used all 20? You know?
That doesn't even make any sense.
Yes. And that was like, and that was the first time it was glad we went our first experience getting Airbnb, but that was our first time Airbnb at our entire house. Mm-hmm. We was like, man, we got to raise the cleaning fee on this. Yeah. You know, because it was just terrible. But recently, I upped the price because if you lower the price, evidently you're going to get a not lower person, but you're going to get more of a party goer. You raise the price, you get more of a people, you know, that's not really going to tear your place up, you know. So that's what we did. We raised the cleaning fee and I raised the price. So you might not book as many night, but at least you're protecting your investment.
For sure. And so where does your portfolio stand now? How many units are you at now?
Right now, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Dang. No, it's probably about eight houses, one duplex.
Nice. So a mix of single family and duplex?
Yes, it's all single family and one duplex. But I mean, even my primary residence that I'm eventually finna move out, it's two units basically because the mother-in-law. Right. When I move, you'll rent both units out, you know?
Right.
So that would be a double. Right now it's one.
Right. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So how did you grow your portfolio to that point in such a short period of time? Like, what were some of your strategies that you used? Because that's very impressive in just a couple of years to have eight doors.
Right. Yeah, you're going to have to sign up for my course. It's not a plan. That's on y'all the gurus, right? All right.
Yeah.
Sign up for this course, $999.
The link right here.
Yeah, the link right here.
Expires at midnight.
Yeah. See, I gotta figure out how to do that stuff. But nah, I was working, I was like some people are just meant to do certain things. So in life, like I was in a mail truck, you know, working and getting paid by the hour and it sucked. Like life was like it's not me. So when I quit my job, right? I quit the post office and I thought my plan was to quit the post office with like 10 rental properties. When I quit, I think I had one. I had three, right? So I quit the post office with three rental properties, and it wasn't even close enough to provide for me. It was just like, man, I'm done, which I don't advise, but I was done, right?
Yeah.
So basically, how I did two of them I bought in one the same month, and basically, how could I say it? I saved up when once I moved in the new house, I was basically living for free. We paid off our cars, you know, and then the mother-in-law took care of the whole, you know, shebang. So basically, imagine working, you know, and the only thing you're paying for is your food, basically, food and the gas. So I started saving up, and it's easy to save up when you don't have housing and cars. Only thing you're spending money on is food. So basically, we saved up, and we started buying properties. My wife kept her job, and I purchased the duplex first because I was determined to get a duplex. I was going to auctions, everything. But that first duplex, that was a tough one. That was I had to negotiate a lot on that. But got a duplex. After the duplex, I partnered up with one of my other friends, bought an Airbnb. And I mean, yeah, partnering up, I say that's how I scale so fast.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So a couple of those, yeah, like you partner with someone else on them.
Yeah, gotcha. And that was able to help me, because basically what people should realize, if you got people with the same common mindset, and I know the best thing to do is put your money together, because it's gonna go a lot farther. So instead of you putting down, say, 20 grand, now you only got to put down 10 grand.
Yeah.
So now you can buy two of them if you got the 20 grand, because you put down 10, you still got 10 left. So let's go buy another one. So basically, that's why I looked at it. I mean, you partner up. You don't want to get too thin, but if you can partner up and still have meat on the bone, I think that was how I was able to scale faster, I guess.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. I mean, I think it's powerful, man, to partner up. You know, you can go faster together. You know, it sounds kind of cliche, but it's true. You know, you probably – if you're just by yourself, you probably would have maybe four or five, but you know, now you are where you're at, and I'm sure it helps overall just having a partner, you know, helping out to make sure things are growing.
Yeah.
So that's good, man.
Yeah. I mean, the advantage of having a partnership, I believe, is because me, I like to find deals. I'm a deal finder. That's what I do. I find deals. Then once I actually get it, it's not even fun no more. It's kind of like chasing a girl. Like once you got it, it's like, you know what I mean? But I like chasing deals. So I find a deal, and my partner, he working full-time job still. So he's not doing that. So he's more like the analytical data, get the taxes, get the insurance, and handle all that. So if you find somebody who, like, y'all kind of, like, if they doing this in life, it makes sense for them to do that. And then they also excel at that. It's, like, kind of like a perfect matchup.
For sure. For sure. And what does your wife think of all this? How involved is she, and what does she think of how things have been able to grow over the past couple of years?
Well, I mean, basically, I mean, we were both, I was learning, but she seen me learning. So it was kind of like, even like, think about the last podcast I did. Like, a lot of people close to me didn't even listen to her. They like, we with you every day. We know it already, basically, you know? So she like, she know I've been listening, studying, and she listened to everything I'm saying. So she kind of getting like a third ear to hear, and like kind of just like nobody else gonna believe it too. So when you tell people at your job you're gonna do this and do that, and then they not gonna believe it. So having my wife on board, we were both like, she motivated me to keep going, you know, because she like, no, it's really gonna happen. Because everybody else, a lot of times, like when God working through you, it don't make sense. So for you to say, I'm finna quit my job, you got a child on the way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're like 30 years old, what you gonna do the rest of your life? It's like, you really can't explain it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That's powerful. No, it's interesting. You know, a lot of times when people, a lot of what you're doing is unfamiliar to most of our community. It's something we haven't heard before. And I feel like now, the age we're in, a lot more of us are taking this path to build wealth, to financial freedom through real estate, growing a portfolio. And a lot of for a lot of us, it's very new. You know, we didn't always had family. We didn't have exposure to that kind of thing. And so the reason I'm saying that is because when you bring up something like that to people who have not been exposed to it or who don't believe it's possible, you know, it can get kind of weird. It can be kind of hard to talk to people, quite honestly. So I think it's really great that you have a wife who sees the vision.
That's why I call my podcast The New American Dream, because, you know, the old American dream, you go work for 30 years and then you retire and travel or whatever. But, yeah, it is unconventional. So a lot of times if you're talking to somebody, that's why I say right now the smartest people on earth are probably 25 to 35, because they, like, we played outside high school, but then we also got on social media. Like, you got to both. Like, I was in the woods younger, and then I'm also know how to use technology. So it's powerful in this day and time. And that's, like, a lot of people working from home, or you don't know what they do because they was born in this millennial time where, you know, women take pictures, I think, and make money on Instagram, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like, if my cousin did that, my grandma, like, you need to get a job, you know?
Yeah.
But you want to know, like, no, people making a lot of money off just taking pictures.
For sure, for sure. So how do you find deals? What is your strategy to find deals?
Well, my strategy for the most part is, it's kind of like, how can I explain it? I'm a realtor too, so I help other people buy houses. So I'm in the field. So a lot of times when I'm in the field, I might not be looking, but if I notice something that's a good deal, I'm gonna go to it, you know. So like even the Airbnb, the first Airbnb I bought, I wasn't even looking for a house myself. I was helping a client find a house, and the client didn't want that house, and I knew that house was underpriced by like $30,000, you know.
Wow.
So I'm like, I gotta figure out a way to buy it. And that's the thing about it: when you find something that's a good deal, it's easier to find the money for it. You know, if I tell you right now, I sell you my brand new truck for $2,000, you know, even though if you don't have $2,000, somebody would loan you $2,000 for a brand new truck, because you can just sell it for $10,000, whatever, you know.
Right.
So that's how it is. I mean, I'm in the field every day, like, because when I was at the post office, I was in the real estate, but I kind of like had one leg in, one leg out. Mm-hmm. So I was fine. But now every day I'm out here doing real estate. So I mean, I look on Realtor, you know, I got my little search criteria. People should set it up to what you're looking for, like under 100,000, multifamily, single family. And I just hit that throughout the day and look at stuff. And I looked at so many deals, I know when to go farther, you know?
Right.
Like to look for more.
Right, for sure. And I think it's very cool that you are a realtor, because now you have access. You see what's going on. And like you said, somebody didn't want it, but you knew the comps. You knew it was underpriced. And I think it's complimentary, because you're in the market, you're investing in that market, you're also helping people. And so, you know, you can, it makes sense. It makes sense. It complements one another. And I can definitely tell how it would give you more access to information that will help you in your own investments.
Right. And that's what, like, right now it's extremely popular for people to get a real estate license. And I want people to, like, getting your real estate license is not going to make you increase your net worth. Mm-hmm. You know, so, like, it's a million people trying to be real estate agents, and they become a real estate agent so they can become a real estate investor. You know, and it's kind of, how can I say it? It's not worth it to everybody jumping on the same bandwagon. It's not going to work. There's going to be a lot more agents, and most of them not going to be successful, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's necessarily get your license, but in my case, it was just, I was still at the post office when I got my real estate license.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. And tell us more about the market down in Vero Beach.
I mean, the market down here is, it's not a big city. So like your Orlando, West Palm Beach, Miami, you can't even find a house for under 100,000. So in my market, it's more of a small town. You find houses for $60,000-$70,000, and they probably rent for like $1,200-$1,100. It's not super expensive. Is that good or bad? Why are you looking at it like that?
That's good. That's great. That's That's a great ratio. That's a good deal. Yeah.
So you buy it for $70,000 and you rent it for $1,200?
Yeah, because I invest in Ohio, and it's a single family, but it rents for $900. So that's why when you said $1,200, $1,300, my eyes like, whoa, my eyes popped open. It's pretty solid rent.
I mean, see, and I got, like, a lot of people, if you have a job, you have a backup plan. So you can buy a skip deal or whatever, close cut. In my case, it's like, I don't work no more. I don't have no backup plan. So I need to get good deals, you know? Like, so, I mean, what I was going to say? I mean, so the prices I'm looking at, it's right around that 60, 70. Mm-hmm. And then I might put $5,000, $10,000 in it and then rent for that.
Right. It's pretty good. And when you buy your deals, do you do like full rehabs? Do you do like small rehabs? Like what is your preference if you have one?
My preference is to paint it, mow the yard, and put a for rent sign out. That's like the best deal, you know? Yeah. But for the most part, the most recent deal I just did, that was the biggest rehab I did. Mm-hmm. I had to basically do a brand new full kitchen, total bathroom, and that was the main thing, like total rehab. And then we had to paint inside and out everywhere. So that was like the biggest rehab. And for the most part, I think I wouldn't want to go too much over $5,000 or $10,000 as far as a gigantic rehab, because if you don't know how to do a lot of work, it can start to add up quick.
For sure. What was your experience like with that particular rehab, especially doing like the brand new kitchen? What was that like for you?
So first of all, you want to get at least three estimates when you're doing like a major kitchen rehab, bathroom rehab, because if you're brand new to this, you probably don't have no idea if it's high or low. So if you get three comps and you start asking other, try to find people that know you, because they're more likely to not try to screw you over, do you wrong, or know somebody in your family. So a lot of people I use, either, you know, my dad used them before, or, you know what I mean, we kind of know somebody in close range. So, and one of the best things I learned this time too is anything that need to be done by other people, you should do that first, because like right now I had to wait on the cabinets get put in, and I did all the stuff that I had my crew to do first, in which we can do it. The people that you got to rely on always do that first, you know? So if you got to get tub plumbing and all that, and you got, because people, you know, they might have, hey, we'll get you in 3 weeks. I'm like, 3 weeks, you know, that's too far. I'm trying to have this thing rented out. So as soon as you get a property under contract, whatever the major issue that you're not going to be doing, definitely contract that out or get it taken care of first. Because paying, you know what I mean, if you're doing it or you got people that can easily do that, you shouldn't be stressed.
For sure, for sure. And your dad invests in the same city, right?
Yes, and yeah, he here with me too. So basically, he's getting older, so I'm just kind of like picking up, you know what I mean, trying to keep it going.
For sure, for sure. You think you might transition over and start helping out with more, helping out more with his properties as he kind of,
oh yeah,
I mean, retires or works a bit less?
Yeah, for the most part, I mean, he kind of like sold a lot of his, so the ones that he do have, I manage them too.
Gotcha. Do you manage all your current rentals as well?
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, I got the time right now, so. Mm-hmm. I manage them all. I manage it all. I mean, I got guys to help me, but for the most part, it's me. And then eventually, once we start making enough profit, I can, you know, get me a flight to Hawaii and we can let somebody else do it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What's the future looking like? What are you hoping to grow towards and do with the portfolio? And also, if you have like any other entrepreneurial ventures you're getting into or you're doing as well.
Right. I mean, and that's, we had a beauty supply store before all this took off. And that's what I realized. You realize you have to, like, people think when you fail is a failure. And what you know, a failure is just a learning experience. Mm-hmm. So we had a beauty supply store in which many people probably say fail because we closed it. But I learned I learned that I don't want to sit in a store all day. I like to be out in the real world moving, you know, and so we closed the beauty supply store down. So my like moving forward, basically I've been doing mostly rental properties. We finna start doing more flips, you know, instead of just keeping all of them, we're going to start go ahead and sell some of them. And I think like, I mean, you have to have a balance, because you just keep buying rental properties. Like, I don't care what, like all the gurus say, like, there's no way you're going to just keep buying rental properties without selling. Like, it don't make sense. So I think it's not a get rich quick scheme. It's a lot of hard work. It takes money. And when people say, oh, it takes $10,000 to fix it, you might want to just say it takes 17, 18. That's what I'm learning. Cause every time I say, oh, I probably could fix it for $5, it come out more, you know. It's kind of like mm-hmm. going out. You think you're going to spend $50. You like, I spend 80, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm learning for it. So moving forward, we just going to start flipping some of the properties, and then eventually, like down the road, turn to single families, get rid of them, and purchase apartments.
For sure. That's the goal. That's the goal. Less headaches.
Yeah. I mean, but like, that's what I'd be telling people too. Like, cause I listened, like when I was listening to even reading books, like reading a book, right? If you read a book, that's why I think a lot of people in jail come home and be successful, is cause when you don't see, like when you can't look to the side and see what your friends or peers are doing. And that's what happened. When I was in the mail truck, I didn't really know, because you're working 9-10 hours a day. I didn't realize everybody else wasn't learning or just doing things. So my friends were the people on these podcasts that people listen to. They were my like friends. Like they like, I got this, I got that. I'm like, I ain't got none of that, you know? So when I'm coming out to the real world, I'm like, I ain't doing nothing because they doing this. So now once I started doing it, I realized what they were saying is true. Like, it really works if you follow the blueprint.
For sure, for sure. And do you have any books that you recommend, or business books, or just different resources that have helped you out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The newest book I'm reading is Doing Good Business the Biblical Way. It's Good Business the Biblical Way. So it's basically, we probably can put it in the show notes, but it's basically doing business in the Bible, because the Bible has a lot of business in it about money too, and people don't realize it. But it's a book, a guy, he's a billionaire too, and he was on the TD Jakes TV show. And I didn't even know. My wife, she ordered the book, it showed up. I'm like, where did this book come from? I started reading it. Man, it's basically, that's why I say the universe, you gotta listen carefully. That's why you can't, there's a lot of times you need quiet time, because the universe could be telling you to do something. Like, if you always thinking about something over and over, every day you wake up thinking about it. I mean, every day. It's not one day you don't think about it. If you go try to do that thing, because you already thinking about it, if you go do it, you're going to be successful at it, because you, like, obsessed with it, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's like, real estate. Like, I was just, every day I listen to something with real estate, or I do something with real estate. It's like, no matter what happens, like, so for people, you got to listen. Like, so I'm telling you that. You can't ask other people opinion, because if the spirit or the universe is telling you to do something and you go ask Joe Blow, hey, you think I should buy that car right there for $800? Man, I wouldn't buy that car. But they don't know, like, that car, it looked rough, but it got a brand new transmission in it. They just looking at the outer side. You got more information that they don't see. So they think it's a dumb idea. Cause I just tell people at the post office, you know, what I'm gonna do and this and that, and they say, "Yeah, you'll be here in 34 years. You know, we'll call and check on you." So it's like you can't really tell people ideas. You gotta just keep your head focused and do it. And that's one of the books. That's the main book I'm reading recently. Everybody know Rich Dad Poor Dad. Yeah. That's like a beginner book. You know, that should be mandatory before you even listen to this podcast. Go Rich Dad
Poor Dad. Man, I really like that you said that. You know, a lot of times what people don't understand, they just shoot down. So it's like, oh, you know, you're buying a rental property. Oh, but, you know, what if the tenants don't pay? What if something breaks? And all these things. It's like a lot of people rather to have some safety than take any risk at all. They'd rather just stay where they are, doing what they've been doing their whole life, instead of taking a risk, getting uncomfortable and doing something and trying something else. You know what I mean? So I do agree with your point. Like sometimes you can't share your dreams. You can't share your goals with everybody. Everybody's not going to see the vision. And, you know, if you sometimes, yeah, for sure. For sure. I agree with you 100%. You know, and everyone's just not going to see it. Everyone can't go, you know, everyone can't.
Yeah.
This path to wealth. And sometimes, you know, when you reach the point or when you do something that people can kind of say, oh, wow, he actually is doing it. Maybe they can come then. But in the beginning, or as you're working towards, everyone's not really going to be along for the ride, man.
Yeah. And my brother, he got on me about that because even like we go to stores and I see somebody working at Walmart. They've been there for like 10 years and I don't get it. And my brother, like, you can't be harsh on them because they just don't know. You know, that might be what make them happy. Mm-hmm. So you can't really judge other people because they don't want to invest in real estate or be an entrepreneur. Right. Like, because I try to tell everybody, invest in real estate. You know what I mean? Right. But some people are like, what if the tenant don't pay? And it's like, they just don't get it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, man. And what are a couple things you would say to a new investor? So say it's someone who is interested in investing in real estate, but they're kind of nervous, like they're kind of scared. They don't really know where to start. Like what are some tips you would give to somebody like that?
Learn as much as possible, because if you move into a deal confident, I moved to a deal confident because I listened and learned so much. I analyzed so many deals. So it's kind of like, if you're good at something, you're not afraid to play against somebody in the game, because you already know, hey, I'm low key. I'm the baddest at this game. So they don't even know what they're getting into. So like, get like that about real estate. Just read, listen to podcasts. And once you lead, you got the knowledge. I mean, knowledge is there, and then you can take action. So a lot of people, they be like, oh, I got to save up this and get my credit right. That's the perfect time to start learning, because you're not even ready yet. So learn. So when you do get your credit and your money right, you can take action, because, you know, good deals don't last long. So if it's a good deal, I'm pretty sure it's not going to last long. So you got to be able to recognize it quick and pull the trigger. Because if you keep waiting around, I'm definitely going to have an offer in, and it's going to be on a contract pending, you know?
For sure. Awesome. And where can people reach you if they want to learn more about what you're doing, connect with you, and perhaps maybe even in your area and want to link up with you? Where can people reach you?
The main place you can find me is on Instagram under Gibson Money Talk. If you have any deals, well, I shouldn't say that, but you can email me, at georgesellhomes@gmail.com. You can reach me on that email. Also, I have a podcast called The New American Dream Podcast. You can check it out on there. But the main place, if you're trying to get in touch, is email or Instagram.
For sure. Well, George, pleasure having you on, man. Y'all definitely follow him on Instagram. Check out his podcast. Email him if you're in his area or if you just want to connect more and learn more about what he's doing. Definitely hit him up.
And one other thing, if you listen to the numbers, like living in California and living in New York and stuff, definitely DM me to get on the list, because I mean, Florida, the prices are a lot cheaper, maybe in all southern states, but it's definitely deals down here, 60, 70 grand, easily rent for $1,000. And you can have the opportunity to purchase if people want to invest.
For sure. Y'all hear it. Y'all want to invest in Florida, he's your guy.
Right.
For sure. Thank you again, man. And everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. Looking forward to putting this one out. You can find us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue or on Twitter at Bread Podcast at BRED Podcast. Look forward to talking to you all soon.
If you want to see more companies make things in America, consider buying more things from companies who are already doing that very thing. Companies like American Giant. These guys have been making t-shirts, sweatshirts, flannels, and blue jeans in America for the last 14 years, with cotton grown right here in the USA. That means good jobs for lots of hardworking Americans in factory towns all over the country. Check out their stuff in stores everywhere or pick up something awesome at American-Giant.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.